We'll start in Galatians chapter 4 and Psalm 17. So if you want to stick a finger in Psalm 17 and then Galatians chapter 4, we're going to read those two verses to start off. We've been talking about a series called The Renewing of the Mind. We've been posting these messages on our website. So if you haven't been with us a week or two, go back and look for titles that say Renewing the Mind something something. Okay, like last week, I think it was Renewing the Mind, Don't Quit or Don't Give Up or something like that. So it's on our website, befellowship.org. You can go back and click on that and listen to the audio files of our previous series. But we're going to end the series, I believe, today. I think the Holy Spirit wants us to move on to something different next week. But I want to encourage you, how many of you saw on the book table the Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind? I want to encourage you, continue reading that. Finish it. Finish what you start. We've been talking a lot already this morning about God finishes what he starts. And so if you haven't picked up a copy, we're going to order some more this week. We'll have them here certainly by next Sunday, The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. And I encourage you to go through that whole book. Even though the series on the renewing of the mind is ending today, go through that book. It'll bless you. It'll strengthen you. We all need our minds renewed. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. And God has promised a way to do that. So we're going to start in Galatians chapter 4 and Psalm 17. Gosh, I just want to pray again. I just want to stand still in the Lord's presence today. It's so good. Galatians 4:19. In the first part of that verse, I'm just going to read the first part of Galatians 4:19. This is Paul speaking to the church at Galatia. He says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ be formed in you." Until Christ be formed in you. Now look at back at Psalm 17, verse 15. I'm going to read this in the King James Version. Psalm 17, 15. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." This is David speaking here to the Lord. He said, "I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." With thy likeness. Nothing less. Paul said, until Christ be formed in you. And the psalmist said, when I awake, I'll be satisfied when I look like you, God. That good? He had a hunger. David had a hunger to be righteous, to look like his heavenly father, to look like his daddy God. He saw God and he said, I'll be satisfied when I look like you. And in talking about the renewing of the mind, I really want to exhort you today. This is more of a kind of an encouragement, a coach prodding a runner on to finish the race when it comes to renewing the mind. That we want to pursue this thing until Christ be formed in us. And in other words, we don't give up the race until we see Jesus in the mirror. Amen? Nothing less. If you still see some of you, we aren't done yet. The psalmist said, I'll be satisfied when I look like you, God. When I awake with your likeness. And listen, the promise is in the word of fruitfulness. When we talk about the renewing of the mind, there's a place you and I can come to where this area or that area or this over here in our soul, these different areas of our soul look like Jesus from the inside out. Amen? Christianity is about a transformation. The gospel is about transformation from the inside out. It's not a correct your behavior on the outside. Every other religion out there says do this, do this, do this outwardly. I met a guy one time when I was working in the chemical plants. I'd never run into a Jehovah's Witness before. This guy was the hardest worker in our group. And as a testimony to him, I mean, he put his money where his mouth was when it came to hard work because that's what his religion taught him. Yeah. You'd be the hardest worker. So I have to admit, you know, in a way, outwardly, he put on a good testament for his faith. It wasn't a Christian faith. It was a cultish faith. But they were real big on works. Nothing wrong with that in a sense. But it's Christianity. True Christianity is not about what you do outwardly. It's from the inside out looking like Jesus. Amen. And it will work its way out into your works. Yes. But it starts from the inside. Amen? And it finishes on the inside. Yes. Paul said, Christ, I'm in birth pain. You know, he put himself in a laboring mother position and said, church, I'm not giving up on you until Christ be formed in you. Well, you know, we're on this journey. And for as long as we're together, for the next several decades, whatever the Lord has for us, we're going to be journeying until Christ be formed in each one of us. Yeah. If you're not patient, you'll be patient then. If you got a temper, the temper will fall off at some point. You'll look like Jesus. Amen? But that's the goal, that we look like Jesus. Nothing less. Nothing less. John the Baptist said this in Matthew 3:8. He said, he was talking to the leaders of his time, and he looked around at him and he said, show forth fruit that is in keeping with repentance. In keeping with repentance. I want to read that in the, I think I have it in the New Living Translation here. I took a picture of it. Ah, here it is. Yeah, NLT, Matthew 3:8, if you just want to note the reference. We're not going to turn there, but Matthew 3:8, he says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Amen. Prove it. Now listen, God is patient. God is faithful. He is so patient with us, saints. But he does expect the fruit to come forth. You may not be patient yet. You may still look like your old self in one area still. God will be patient with you. But for a certain length of time. There comes a point God says, I want some fruit. Like John the Baptist said, prove it. There is a proving. The gospel is meant to produce fruit in us. And if it's not producing the character and the likeness of Jesus, it just might be that we're not cooperating. Could it be possible? Listen, this seed has power in it. The word of God, the promises of God have the power to transform us. If we're not being transformed, it could be we're just not cooperating. And that's a real simple fix. Just say yes, like we said earlier. Just say yes to Jesus. Yes. And in a real practical way, how do you do that? Spend time in the book. That's why we're calling 2018 the year of the book. Get in the book. You say, I don't understand this book. It's a mystery to me. I know it is a mystery. But you have the Holy Spirit in you to unlock the mysteries. That's why he's in you. To reveal. Listen, God doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us. To get us searching. To get us desiring. It increases our anticipation. When we get that thing, it's like, oh, that's a treasure. Why? Because you had to hunt for it. It didn't just drop on you. That's God's ways. Listen, Satan is after the fruit in your life. Time and time again, if you've been in the church for many, many years, there's been times when the Lord said, I want you to change in this area. And you may have, the first time you heard him say that, you said, no way, I like this. I'm holding on to this devil, Jesus. And you resisted. And years went by, the Lord moved you to another church, and said, I want you to change in this area. And even though you said no, but it was a little less, you weren't holding on like a squid with tentacles to that thing. And slowly over time, see, God is so patient with us, church. He's so patient. But he wants the fruit of Jesus to come out. Satan's after the fruit, and that's why he goes after the seed. The power is in the seed. This is the seed. Peter said it this way. He said, you've been born again of incorruptible seed, undefiled seed, by the living and enduring Word of God. Listen, we got born again by this Word. We get sanctified by this Word. We get changed by this Word. We come to look like Jesus and come to fruition through the Word. Amen? And there's something about human nature. I can't explain it. I don't even know if I'd compare it to sheep because I did some search on the internet and I really couldn't find any affirmation of this. If anybody in here is a true shepherd by trade, maybe you can affirm this. But I really found no answer on the internet that said for sure that sheep are dumb and they forget things. But we've always heard that in church, haven't we? Yeah. That sheep are dumb and forget things. But I don't know that there's any confirmation. But I'll say this about humans. We're dumb and we forget things. Sheep may be smarter than we are. But the devil is after the seed. They said it this way when we were in Bible college. They said, sin will keep you. They said it this way. This book will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from this book. Selah. Satan wants the seed because he's after the fruit. He does not want you planting the seed and nurturing the seed that's in you, the image of Jesus. We read this verse before the service started in Colossians. You have been given fullness in Christ. Listen, inside of you is a fully matured Jesus person. When you got born again, your spirit man looks like, it's not a baby Jesus. In reality, I think, you know, we picture that when we get born again, we're a baby. In a sense, that's true, but really the seed that's in us is a fully matured Jesus. It's our mind that makes us act like a baby because we got so much of Adam up here. Adam resisting Jesus manifests in a way of, I'm a baby Christian. I'm 90% carnal and 10% Holy Ghost driven, right? And then as we go along, hopefully there comes a day we're 50-50. We're only 50% pulled back by Adam, and at least we got 50% Holy Ghost glowing in us, Jesus coming out of us. And then there comes a day God's looking at us saying, I want 100% of your life in this area surrendered. The life of the Christian believer is a life of surrender. Your entire life saying yes to Jesus, yes to Jesus, yes to Jesus. In the parable of the sower, it's interesting to note that only one out of the four examples bore fruit. One out of four. Jesus told that parable. He wasn't being pessimistic. He's just being real. He said, in four cases, 75% of them don't come to fruition. Wow. That ought to make us tremble in how we approach the Word of God. He said, the sower sows the Word. And Satan comes immediately to steal the Word because he's after the fruit. Not just the seed. The seed doesn't have value to him in and of itself, but he knows what the seed can produce in you. Fruit. Satan comes to snatch the seed. In another example, Jesus said, well, let's just turn there. Mark chapter 4. Turn your Bibles to Mark 4, please. Mark 4, verse 14. Jesus said this, Mark 4:14, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed among the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, verse 16, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Verse 18, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful, dastardly. Verse 20, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. The goal of Jesus when he sows the word in our life is for us to hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Say that with me. To hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. God wants us to produce a crop. Listen, you say, well, I started working on my temper years ago. Well, how's that coming? Has there been a fruit, you know, has this come to fruition? Has the crop come about that pushes that old out and replaces it with the new? Fruit. The image of Jesus. That's our goal in renewing the mind. The fruit is what God wants in us. Fruit, fruit, fruit. He doesn't want Fruit Loops. He just wants us fruity, producing fruit. But we should, I hope you'll underline that in your book. Listen, if you're new at underlining your Bible and highlighting, this thing should be sloppy messy by the end of the year, okay? Don't be afraid to write in your Bible. Don't be afraid to highlight. It's not disrespect. It means you're a studier of the Word. Amen? So underline there, hear the Word, accept the Word, produce a crop. Hear the Word, accept the Word, produce a crop. Listen, if you hear a good sermon preached here, I encourage you, go home and in a couple days, pull it up on the internet, listen to it again. Nurture that seed. Seed needs to be watered, and then it will produce a crop. The seed can die. Seed can be powerful to start, and if we don't finish it out, if we don't nurture that seed, water that seed, and listen to it again, go, oh man, I almost forgot about that part. That is really good. Scott's not half bad. And then produce a crop. You produce a crop as you nurture the seed of the Word of God. It's not me. It's the Word of God that's presented here. As you hear the Word, nurture that Word and produce a crop. Accept it in your life and produce a crop. Listen, it's very possible for us as Christians to be strong in one area of our faith and very weak in another area. You may have sat in a church for, say, 8 to 10 years that taught really strong on financial prosperity. You got that down, man. Your faith is strong. You believe God wants you to do well, that he wants good things for his children, that he has good things in store for you, and he supplies all your need according to his riches and glory. You may have that solid in here, but you may have never sat under a church where they taught on righteousness, how to bring forth the character of Jesus. It's possible as a Christian, it's really weird, it's an anomaly of how multifaceted our spirit's like a gem, It's like a multifaceted jewel, our spirit man inside of us. We can be very strong in one facet of, say, prosperity, being assured of that, and very weak in our righteousness, how righteous we are. You know, I was in the Lord's presence the other day, and I was just about to finish my quiet time, and this verse came up in my spirit. Except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise be saved. I was like, yikes, Lord. That's a rough one to start the day with. But immediately, as soon as I started to tremble at that thought of that verse, as if it were me, unless your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees. What Jesus was saying is, listen, the Pharisees look good on the outside, but they're full of garbage on the inside. Jesus was saying to me, when he spoke that word to me, I know what it meant. It was like, holy in here is what I want. But immediately, as quick as my mind started to get a little upset by the verse, the Holy Spirit reminded me, your righteousness does exceed that of the Pharisees. Your righteousness is the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And I said, hallelujah. I beat that one. I won that race. My righteousness is the righteousness of God. It does trump that of the Pharisees. Hallelujah. I don't just look pretty on the outside. I'm holy on the inside. That's what Jesus is saying. So listen, that's what God desires. He wants us to be strong in every area of faith. Listen. When it comes to the renewing of the mind, some of you in here said, man, I've never heard of this. I never heard of, you know, taking hold of my thoughts, taking my thoughts captive. Get Joyce Meyer's book. We'll have it, like I said, next week. We'll have it back on our book table. We'll have some more copies. It's really good, very practical. She says some really good things. Let me share one thing she says. This is a quote right out of her book. It says this: the devil will give up when he sees you're not giving in. Listen, if you're determined to get rid of the old thoughts and replace them with God's thoughts, and if you won't give up, the devil will give up on you when he sees you're not giving in. He'll go on to fry bigger fish. But he'll keep pounding you as long as he's got you in that area, whatever it is. You feel unworthy, you feel unholy, you feel poverty stricken, you feel depressed. He will keep pounding and pounding and pounding. But the minute you start to rise up and speak the word of God, say, this is who I am, and you take hold of a new identity in Christ, and you won't let go like a bulldog, you won't give up on that, the devil will flee. Amen. That's good. That's right out of Joyce's book. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. We just finished the book of Colossians this week, those that have been reading through the chapters with us. And you know, one of the themes of the book of Colossians is that it's possible for Christians to get caught up in heresy. And Paul addresses that. He says, listen, don't let anybody deceive you. You have been given fullness in Christ. All your goodness, all your assurance before God comes from Jesus and nothing else. Nothing else. No human philosophy, no false humility, no outward worshiping of angels. He says, it comes, you're complete in Christ. And look at how he ends the book. This is the second to the last verse in the book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. See to it that you finish or complete or bring to fruition. See, God is always about finishing what gets started. Apparently this man Archippus had a call of God on his life, and maybe he started pastoring, maybe he started as a teacher, maybe he was an apostle like Paul and went around and started churches, maybe he was an evangelist and would go and, you know, pray for sick people in cities and lead them to Jesus. Whatever his work, it doesn't tell us here in the Word. Paul just says, hey, remind Archippus, finish. Amen. Finish the call. And God's saying that to us today, church. He's saying, finish. Take this thing to fruition. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Don't get tired and say, oh, that renewing of the mind thing, I'm just getting tired thinking about it. I'm just going to live like my father, live like my grandpa. No! It's not okay. It's not okay for you to look like your dad. Adam. Amen. You're called to look like Jesus. Paul said, the apostle said it in this way in Acts 17:30. We read this verse weeks ago. He said, now he commands men everywhere to repent. In other words, you've been going this way. It's time to go this way. And listen, saints, sometimes this may be a mental exercise for you, but you may have to take your mind 20 times, 30 times, 40 times a day and say, no, we're not thinking that. We're thinking this. Here's another thought from Joyce Meyer's book. It's really good. She said, mind your mind. Think about what you're thinking about. In other words, don't let your mind just kick into passive gear. You know, in planes, you ever been on a big 747 or something way up high in the sky? And in the old days, the stewardess would let you walk forward and look in the cabin, meet the captain that's flying the thing. It is amazing, man. We flew to Australia years ago, and the console looked like the Starship Enterprise. And this guy said, yeah, this thing, he said, I can put it on autopilot. It will take off and land without me touching it. This thing is so automated. I was amazed. I was amazed at that. That was back in 2000-ish. So we didn't have all the, well, we didn't have these things back then, but we were just starting to get them. But it was pretty, it had a big wow factor even back then. And I was impressed by that. But you know what? You know, sometimes our mind wants to drift on autopilot. And we talk about the renewing of the mind. I know this is the last day on the series, but I want to provoke you. Don't let that happen. Your mind will naturally wander back to weeds, to dirt. Out of dust we came, dust we shall go. But our spirit is new. And we're supposed to align our mind with what's happened in here. Amen? That's what we talk about. When we talk about the renewing of the mind, it's harnessing this thing. Paul said it like this, gird up the loins of your mind. He said, don't let it wander. I always think of dreadlocks. I get a little nervous when I see these football players with these, you know, braided locks hanging out of their helmet. I'm thinking, man, what if that gets snagged? That's going to be horrible. And you know, sometimes our thoughts are like that. They're just like a hippie. You know, we used to, years ago, we called them hippies. What was a hippie? It's just a person that let their hair just grow out like a mess. Listen, your mind will naturally grow out like a mess if you let it. It's not okay. Why is it not okay? Because you are a born-again child of God. We sang about it earlier. I'm no longer a slave to fear. So when fear comes on you, what do? You take that captive. You say, I don't fear. I fear not. I only believe. You start speaking the word. And what area, listen, this renewing the mind thing, I told Terry, I said, this is a weird series because no matter how good I preach up here, I can't do the work for the people. You have to go home and do this. You have the homework assignment. I can't renew your mind for you. I can work on mine. And believe me, I'm working. And God's working. He won't let us off the hook. Why? Until we look like Jesus. Until Christ be formed in you. Nothing less, because that's what's in you, Pat. Jesus is in you. And the old Pat needs to go away. We want to see the new Pat. And she's glorious.
That's right.
She's a bride without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
She looks good. That's you. That's who you are. Amen. If you're not seeing that in the mirror, when you look in there, it's time to change your thinking. It's real easy. God's given us exceeding great and precious promises. Listen, saints in other countries, sometimes they tear out one whole book of the Bible and hide it. And they'll get together in meetings in caves and share. Listen, we got dozens of these on our bookshelves. Yes. Yeah. Get in the book.
Amen.
The power is in the seed. The devil's after your thoughts. Because if he controls your thoughts, he controls your life.
Amen.
Listen, you could be a born-again child of God. You could be just like we sang about, I'm no longer a slave. But if he's controlling the thoughts in your mind, you're behaving like a slave.
Right.
In position, you're free. You're a free man. You know, you've heard it. I've heard it too. That right after the emancipation here in America, there was a lot of African slaves just could not buy that idea of I'm free. Could not conceive it. And they continued to live like slaves. And I'm sure there were some slave owners that kept them under the notion, if you follow me. Yeah, that's just rumors. That really hasn't happened. But listen, we're free. But our mind needs to be told. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be announced up here what's happened in here. Over and over and over. Like I said, we may not be as smart as we think. We may not be as smart as sheep. But we tend to forget it. There's some days, I've got some scriptures in here in my U version of the Bible. I pull up every day and I read them. And sometimes I read them, I go, man, that looks like news to me. It's like I never saw that verse before. And I'm thinking, this is both part of my daily confessions. It's amazing.
Glory.
Adam doesn't give up easy. He may have been he fell for his wife's fruit offer. But he don't give up easy. He is determined. And we have to be twice as determined. We're going to let the new Adam come out.
Amen?
Amen. Glory.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, we're in Mark 4. Let's finish up, wrap things, get wrapped up in Mark chapter 4. And then we're going to land this plane. Mark 4, 26. You're already there. Mark 4, just look at the last, toward the end of the book. Or end of the chapter, Mark 4, 26. Jesus said this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Verse 28, all by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Can you say that with me? The harvest has come. There comes a day in our life when the harvest has come. You know, I needed an emergency dose of favor one time. I was in high school, and I wrecked my car, and I had to go before the judge. It was my first time to be in court. I was young. It was my fault because I was pulling into a Dunkin' Donuts and didn't do a proper lane change. And it was late at night. We were coming home for a Bible study. I just went, donuts. And this car was right here in the lane and hit me, and it was my fault. And I was like, I was terrified. I mean, I was young, just terrified to go before the judge. It was no big deal, but it was my fault, and I didn't know what to expect. I spent the whole day and night before that judge meeting in the Word of God. I got my Strong's Concordance out that thick, broke it open on my bed, looked up every verse I could find on favor, 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 favor. I said, God, give me favor. Listen, when I got done chewing on favor seeds, I mean a plant sprung up in me, and I went before that judge, and I just had favor. I grew me an overnight harvest of favor. Praise the Lord. And he let me off the hook. That was a great testimony to me as a young man. The power of the Word of God. I fed on favor for about 24 hours, and favor sprung up before my eyes. Listen, not every spiritual crop comes up that quick. And like I said, Adam holds on very tightly. So some of your harvest, you're going to have to spend a little more time than 24 hours on it. But you stick to it. And you prove to the devil you're more determined than he is. And we will see some people in this church start to look like Jesus. Start to move like Jesus. Start to act like Jesus. Start to show forth signs and wonders and miracles in this house like Jesus. Because that's in you. That's in you. Jesus is in you.
Amen.
May he be released. And he's unlocked through the power of the mind. It's not mind control, but your mind must say yes. Like I said earlier, if you've ever tried to pray for somebody that's sick and they won't let you bring healing to them, good luck. Because that's the only thing you're going to have on your side. If someone won't let you bring the gospel to them. Listen, your mind will resist. But where you break that mind down through the power of renewal, through the Word of God, you will be transformed. We've studied these verses, Ephesians 4:23. Be renewed in the power of your mind, in the spirit of your mind, excuse me. Romans 12, he said, be transformed. God wants us to be transformed through the Word of God, through the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 5:20, be reconciled to God. This is what we're talking about. When you're renewed, you're reconciled.
Amen.
And God, and Paul said through the commandment to the Corinthian church, he said this. This is a command. It's not a suggestion. Be reconciled to God.
Amen.
Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you and I should be reconciled. It means you should not feel any angst coming into your Father's presence. If you feel anything, you need to go look at that thing. Look at it close. Dr. Leaf says this. You know, she's real... real meticulous. If you haven't read Dr. Leaf's stuff or gotten her videos, she's real helpful in this area of renewing the mind. Go check out Dr. Carolyn Leaf. Good stuff. But she'll say, take that thought. You got an evil thought that's come up in your life. You need to look at that thing, visualize that thing. And I'm not really up on all the techniques. I'm still working on it. But, you know, in essence, we submit it to the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And we say, Holy Ghost, help me to uproot this thing. Get that thing out of me. And he'll do it. He'll do it. You break that seed. Jesus said here in this parable, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel. Last week we talked about Elijah. Remember, he was on the mountain. He was praying for rain, and he kept sending his servant back. He said, what do you see now? Nothing. Nothing's changed. What did he do? He kept sending that faith out. What do you see now? Nothing. You know, sometimes you wake up and you go, do I look like, you look in the mirror and you go, I still look like Adam. I still got that temper. I still got this misbehavior. I don't see any change. You just keep sending your faith out. You keep speaking the word, and the fruit will come. First the blade, the King James says, first the like the sprout of green coming up, then the kernel, and then the full blossom. Amen. The full fruit. God wants fruit. And we have to be determined in this thing called renewing the mind until the fruit comes forth. First, let me read it one more time here. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And then when the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle into it, verse 29, because the harvest has come. That's the good news right there. The harvest will come. If we will not faint, the harvest will come in this area when we talk about the renewing of the mind. It's there for us, saints. Jesus said this in John 15:16. He said, "My desire, I have called you. You did not choose me. I chose you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Amen? Listen, the devil will fight you over this. You just be more determined than he is. You be more determined. John chapter 8. Remember this, your start does not define your finish. And that's why Jesus said one of those examples in the parable of the sower, he said, they may start off rejoicing with the word, but because they have no root, they don't bring forth the fruit that was there. Listen, don't be deceived into thinking that because you've started this race well, that that's your finish. You need to finish well. We need to finish as good as we start. It's not, your race is not defined by how good you start. Your race is defined by you finishing well. Okay? I'm shocked when I look at the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In just two generations, we're told in the Bible, listen to these descriptions. Abraham, friend of God. Two generations down, grandson Esau. Esau have I hated. He's godless. He's immoral, the word of God. That's the description of Hebrews toward Esau. Two generations. We go from being the friend of God to godless and immoral. What happened? It's not enough to start the race well. We've got to finish well. And for us today, here's why I'm bringing it in. You finish by continuing until the fruit comes. Don't give up. Stay in the word. Till the mind gets renewed, until you start to look like Jesus. Esau could have been just as holy as his grandpa. He chose a different way. And that's just two generations down. Listen, saints, it's about finishing this race. It's about continuing. I've met Christians. I met some recently that had some phenomenal stories about, quote unquote, the early days. Listen, that's the start of the race. I want to look at them and go, what's going on now? Yeah. Seen any miracles lately?
That's right.
We need to finish as we started. Huh? Listen, we'll talk about our trophies in heaven, but let's don't stop in this journey. Let's don't stop in this pilgrimage quite yet and talk about trophies. Not till we get there. Let's keep on stacking up the trophies. Amen? You follow me? Let's keep on being like Jesus, being reconciled to God, being renewed in the spirit of the mind. You never get to where you have the t-shirt that says, I've been reconciled, I've been renewed, I've been transformed. No, it's always being. It's always in the present tense. It never stops. I got good news and bad news. The good news is, if you'll get in the book, you will be those things. The bad news is, it never stops. You can't ever quit the race. You have to finish the race. Amen? That's true. All right, let's finish with this verse in John 8. This is what Jesus says. John 8:31. Very familiar passage. People often misquote this. John 8:31. I'm going to read it in the King James. I like it in the King James. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. Number one, they were a believer. Okay, so they've started their race. He looks at him and he says, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue." Verse 32 is what people, even worldly people, quote this a lot. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But don't quote it out of context. See, because if you don't leave verse 31 intact there, it's really not true. You can't. It's not enough to say, "I knew the truth 30 years ago, and the truth has made me free." No, you must continue in His Word. If you continue in His Word, you shall know. See, the knowing comes as we continue. That's why I say human people are weird in this. Isn't that strange? How you could have known Jesus in a certain area years ago, but if you're not knowing Him now, you lose it. You forget it. You have to walk in it daily. Walk in this teaching. Walk in prosperity. Walk in health. Walk in divine health. Walk in sanctification. Walk in mind renewal. Walk in holiness day after day after day. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. Then you've got discipline in your life. That is true discipline. What is discipline? What is being a disciple? Continuing. And as we, in the continuing is our knowing. And what do you know? You will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. The devil wants you to continue in doubt, continue in Adam. That will keep you bound. Jesus says, if you'll continue in the truth, it will make you free. We've got a little devotional book we promote here. And when we run out, we always restock it because it's so good. Faith Food. I encourage you to get a copy of Faith Food. Are we completely out? Completely out. We'll have more next week. Faith Foods. If you don't have one, read it every day. Terry's read it for 4 or 5 years now. She's gone through it 4 or 5 times. And every day when we read it, I look at that and I go, gee, that's so basic, but it's so, it builds you up. It builds your faith. And listen, saints, we need constant building up. We need constant renewal. It's, I don't know, we just leak. We're like those little things that ladies use when they make pasta, colanders. It just leaks. That's what it's used for. I mean, it's that's intentional. But in our case, it's a flaw. It's the flaw of Adam. We leak, right? And we leak this thing, and that's why we must continue. Listen, for somebody in here today, this is really, the Holy Ghost is really saying this to you. Continue, continue. There's never any condemnation. Jesus is always about picking people up. It's you start where you're at today. You haven't been in the gym in 30 years? Put on your sneakers. All right, it's starting where you're at today. Continue, continue, continue. Just pick up the ball, pick up the race, and continue. If you continue in my word, let's read it one more time. If you continue in my word, why don't you stand with me and read it? And I got one more verse we're going to read as we finish out. Let's read it out loud. Go ahead and read it out loud, whatever translation. Then Jesus said, verse 31, to those Jews which believed on him, you can read with me out loud. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen, God's not going to control your mind. He tells us to do it. And we bring it captive by getting in this book. We control our mind. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to end on this verse. Hebrews 3:14. We control our mind. We wrestle this thing called Adam to the ground and pin him so he can't get down by renewing and renewing and renewing and renewing our mind. You never arrive. You have to do it for life. That's the bad news. I'm sorry, but it's reality. I'm just telling you the truth. I love you. I'll tell you the truth. It never ends. You must constantly continue in the word. Continue in the word. Hebrews 3:14. This is what's promised. Oh, I'm going to read it slowly now. I love the King James on this one. Hebrews 3:14. You there? Mm-hmm. For we are made partakers. It means we got fruit coming out of us. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Amen. That was the message to the Hebrew church. They were tempted to go back to Judaism, and he said, no. You're made, you will bear fruit. You will be a partaker of Jesus Christ if you hold steadfast to the end the confidence you had at the beginning. Praise the Lord. I declare that over you. You will be a partaker of Jesus Christ. You will bear fruit and look like Jesus because you will hold to the end the confidence that you had at the beginning. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Have a fantastic week. We love you. See you soon. And guys, don't forget next Saturday. Hallelujah. Amen.